Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we will be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, as we look at the continuation of By It You May Grow Up. We're looking at what it means to grow up in respect to salvation. We've actually slowed things down to look at a growth acronym that Pastor Joe Marquez put together from Grace Calvary Chapel. I've added to it and done some tweaking to it, but he was the one who put it together, and it was such a blessing for me as a young believer when he taught this, you know, about the growth acronym. And one of the first things we learned last week was go to the Lord in prayer daily, pray without ceasing. Today we're learning about read or listen to the Word of God daily. Read or listen to the Word of God daily. For me, I love it because it is a heart check as we go through this growth acronym. Next week, we'll be looking at obedience and application. So once you read and listen to the Word of God daily, you have to apply it. And for a believer, as somebody who's walking with God, a disciple, you're always learning. And if you're not in God's Word, you're not hearing from God. You need God's Word so you know God's will. Here is the first half of this two-part study.
So we're supposed to grow. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says this, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. My job is to teach and make sure that you're presented mature. Right? If you're a dad, your job is to do that with your family and your wife. You're supposed to teach them and help them become mature in Christ. But did you get what he says? We're supposed to proclaim, warning everyone. And when we look at that growth acronym, we'll talk about that, because we have to talk about witnessing to others. One of the things that we think about when we think about growing is, a lot of times, I read this verse this week in our daily reading, I loved it, in Jeremiah 12, verses 5. Jeremiah's upset, his family doesn't want anything to do with him, right? The prophet, and it says in Jeremiah 12, verse 5, it says, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses, right? And if in a safe land you are trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? He's like, when you understand, when you come to faith, it's like understanding that you're running a race and you need to grow up. And you can't, right? A lot of times this is what happens. People come to faith and what do they want to do? I want to teach. No, you need to grow. You can't run with the horses yet, dude. Right? But that's how it is. It's like, no, you need to grow. You need to grow in the Word. You need to be able to run with men first. And then you'll run with the horses. And then when things come up, you'll be able to get through the jungles of the thicket of the Jordan River. And so for us, when we grow in Christ, one of the things that Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is after that man has been stoned, left outside the city for dead, shipwrecked, beaten, jailed, and he's like, I'm still pressing on. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. None. Like you go, man, like I don't have the energy. Like, can you pray? God will use you. It's like we have to continue to grow. But, you know, that's what Billy Graham used to always say. Give me fat disciples. Not fat, but, you know, faithful, available, teachable. Teachable, that they would remain teachable. And part of being teachable is that you're willing to grow. And the next thing that we think about when Jeremiah is talking about running with the foot soldiers and then keeping up with the horses, it's like understanding that your life in Christ is not going to be easy. Period. Right? The trials and the tribulations that you go through, the sufferings that you go through are to grow you. And they hurt sometimes. When you lose a loved one or you go through a tragedy or somebody has cancer or something's going on, it's to grow you. Not for you to retreat from Christ. As we grow, one of the things we know is as we go through those trials and tribulations, when you grow and you mature the way that it was told to you in Colossians, and then, you know, Peter's telling you the same thing, as you're in the pure spiritual milk, you grow. One of the things that happens as you go through trials and tribulations, they become easier to deal with. So when you get to the jungles of the Jordan, in the thickets, you're like, hey, wait a minute. I know what to do. Let's pray. Let's go to God. Right? Let's guide them. They're hurting. Let's go to them. Let's help them. That's what discipleship is. Like, we've been through this. We know what this is like. Let's help them. And so one of the things I love is, like, when we grow, it's important for us to understand, like, I want you to be able to run with the horses. And eventually get into the thickets of the Jordan jungle. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you understand that cloud of witnesses is going to look at you and they're going to wonder what you did because you had the Holy Spirit? You were empowered with the Holy Spirit. The empowerment of the resurrection power resides in you, and they're going to be like, what did you do with it? They're looking at you. When you get to heaven. Like, what did you do? I went to church on Sunday. That's not it. We talked about it last week about making disciples. Not counting people who say the sinner's prayer. We're supposed to make disciples and teach them. Teaching is a continual thing that we do. And eventually they'll start teaching somebody. But he says right thereafter, he says, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. He's like, all that stuff that you're carrying, drop it. All that baggage, that past hurt, you got somebody that's hurt you 20 years ago, over to God. And I know if it's a really hard, and I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but when we talk about washing the heart out, when we talk about obedience, God wants to wring all that stuff out of you. All that stuff that can create temptations and sin and all that unforgiveness. He's like, all that stuff has to come out. As I wash your heart, you have that stuff come up and you're like, why is it coming up again? Because you need to deal with it. But he also says to do what? Not just to lay aside also every weight, but sin. And I love what it says, which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And how do we run the race? Verse 2, looking to Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So now we've challenged you to grow, right? We've challenged all of y'all to grow. And we talked about the the challenges that happen. But one of the things that's the hardest is for older Christians to grow. Why? They like their comfort. Right now, it's not comfortable in here. It's hot. How many churches in this area right now with $30,000 air conditionings, and the people are just coming and going to church with no growth? They come and go to church because it's a business. I need to be there because it's business opportunities. That's not what church is about. It's your personal relationship with Christ. That's what it's about. And so when we get into these moments of comfort, and it's like that for us that are getting older too. We like eating at a certain time. You know, I'm going to bed, man. Don't come to my house at 9 o'clock. And the kids are like, why are you going to bed at 9 o'clock? I'm getting old. I got to get up in the morning. You'll be sleeping. But whenever we have things that are uncomfortable, we don't like it. We don't like change. But I need to make sure you get this. Your walk with Christ is constant change. The only thing that doesn't change is Jesus, the thing you're supposed to be looking at. Okay? When you go to a mission trip, it's going to be hard. It's hard. But when you see the work that's done and the kids that are impacted, it's worth every bit of it. When you do an event at the high school and it takes everything you got as a little church. And we've seen so many kids that came to faith, it was worth every bit of it. But if we would have sat in our comfort and go, well, that's not our responsibility, that's somebody else's. Well, God called us to do it, we did it. How come a small church can do it and a big church can't? Because they're too comfortable. I've heard this said about my last church is the people that attend the church now don't realize what the people that planted the church went through and how much they went through to get to the building that they're at that they've been in for 15 years. So growth is something that we've been called to, and we gave you the acronym, and if you have it'll be up here. But it's also in your bulletin, and if you need the bulletin, there's one in the back, but there's also, they're on the website as well, right? And here's a fun thing. You know where they're at on the bulletin? Or on the website? Under the About page, right underneath the Statement of Faith, where it says Our Vision. And so you'll see that on there. One of the things we want to see is people grow. And so the first thing we looked at last week was go to the Lord in prayer. Pray without ceasing. We spoke about five different elements of prayer, which was relationship, worship, confession, petition, intercession, and I left one out. Hush. Hush. It's a dialogue. It is not a monologue when you pray. You need to get quiet, and you need to hear from the Lord. And you go, am I going to hear audibly? You're going to hear it here on your heart. You're going to have a scripture that's brought up, but you can't do that if you keep talking. You need to sit in it for a little bit. And so hush. So you need to think about the relationship, the worship, the confession, the petition, and the intercession, and then just get quiet. Get quiet. And remember, it's a dialogue. The next part of the acronym is read. And so for me, this acronym helped me. It may seem very simplistic, but when I was a new believer, man, this thing, and even every now and then I go back over and reread it. Because I have to ask myself, am I going to the Lord in prayer daily? Am I reading the Word of God daily? Am I being obedient and applying what I'm reading daily? Am I still witnessing to others? Am I trusting God, even when it's hard to do? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and empower my life? If the answer is no to any of those, I need to do a heart check. And so for me, this is what this is. So when I look at growing the pure spiritual milk and respecting salvation is you growing. And so the next thing that we see is read or listen to your Bible daily. Read or listen to your Bible daily. So how do you spend time studying the Word of God? And you go, Pastor, that's your job. No, it's yours. You're a disciple. The Holy Spirit's trying to teach you too. That's why at Calvary Chapel, it's very important for us. We're a very casual church, but when it comes to the Word of God, we're verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We don't play around with it. We don't get to pick and choose where we want to go in the Word of God. Meaning that this is where we're at, talking about pure spiritual milk and growing and longing for it. And part of that is being in the Word of God, reading it. Like if you want to, the one thing that you should be doing is seeking God's counsel daily. If it's God-breathed and Jesus is the Logos, which we found out in 1 Peter, shouldn't you be in it? If he's eternal. But the problem with our marriages and our families, the problems that we have in our communities and our nation is Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Like he's telling you, like in this verse, there was a famine. They were struggling to get the Word of God. Like, they're not going to get it. And this is where most people are at in the church. They'll come and go every week. And it's the pastor's job to feed me on Sunday and the pastor's job to feed me on Wednesday. Then what happens if you don't eat the other days? Just think about regular food. What happens if you don't eat, if you only eat Sundays and Wednesdays? You're going to be starving. And so, for us, it's to be in God's Word. It's to understand, like, through time and time, it talks about being the bread of life. And we need to be in God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. He's like, have you forgotten the exhortation? The Word of God, have you forgotten it? If you're not in it, you're going to forget it. You're not going to have it there when you need it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves as the father, the son whom he delights. So one of the things we know is that he hits the Word immediately, right? The Christian life is one of the things that we see is those three words, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten where your Bible's at? Oh, it's on my phone. Do you know where the app is? When's the last time you used it? If you hit it, does Apple have to re-download it because it hasn't been used in that long? See, there's normally what the pastor would say is there's dust on the Bible. You could write your name on it. But that's how I know. You know why? Because Apple, after a while, if that app has been sitting not used, it has to re-download the app, which means you haven't been in the Word of God for at least 30 days. And there are so many distractions with the phones when you're trying to read the Word of God. You get a text, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, let me see what the text says. God, can you wait? Hold on. My fantasy football team just scored. Let me see what that is. Right? God, can you wait? My daughter's calling. I need to answer that. But see, there's so many distractions that happen. And so that's why I've always told y'all need a physical Bible. You need to have a physical Bible. Every one of us need it. Have you forgotten? And I love what David Guzik says. Much difficulty in the Christian life has been traced to those three words. You have forgotten. And perhaps it's some principle we remember in our minds, but we have forgotten it with our hearts, and we need to remember it again. Because there's two types of followers of Christ. The person who remembers and acts on the truth in the Word of God, and then there's the person who forgets and fails to act on the truth in the Word of God. Which one are you? And so for us, like, we've been told very early on, and even in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 5, it says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you known that man does not live by bread alone, but by man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on your foot, did not swell these 40 years. Now know then that the heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. He's like, at the end of the day, man does not live by bread alone, but by that every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And he's just reminding you, and Jesus reminded us again in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, when the devil tries to tempt him, he says, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus goes back to Deuteronomy and says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus quotes scripture to the devil. The Logos, Jesus, the eternal abiding Word of God, quoting himself, because all of the scripture is God-breathed. And he tells us you're not supposed to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And if the Word of God is God-breathed, I think the thing that we realized this past week, and, you know, you don't get to pick and choose what you want out of this. And I've told y'all many of times, the one thing that's not included in this Bible is your opinion. It doesn't need it. You don't get to add to it or take away from it. I taught y'all about that this week as we talked about the Muslim faith. The one of the things that are being pushed right now is they're saying that the Jews had the Old Testament, the Christians have the New Testament, and we're the final testament. There's no such thing. But that's what the devil's using right now. You need to know the Word of God. It tells you in the very last page, do not add to or take away from this book. And the Muslims have done that. The Mormons have done that. The Jehovah Witnesses have done that. The Pope is trying to do that now because he wants to rewrite the Gospels. He was quoted that. That he thinks that culturally the context of scripture needs to be changed. And so what does that mean? LGBTQIA, that's good to go. Because culturally they approve that. And then what else? Abortion, hey, that you can do that. Because they'll change the Word of God. You want to make your kid at trans or the kid? Oh, it's fine. Even though they're created male and female, and it tells you in the Word of God. This is what we live our life by. And so for me, this is my bread. And so we can't just, you know, if you're wanting to hear from God, it's God's word that he uses to communicate to us. And we learn the truth about God. We learn about the natures, the thoughts. We see how his will is revealed in the Bible, his promises. And not just his will, but his will for our life. There's so many scriptures that says this is the will of God. Like people will say, I don't know what the will of God is. Read the Word of God. It's in there. And this is a beauty of the Creator who designed in mind and when he made you, that he has the Bible. He has this book for your life. And the promises, when you study the Word of God and you understand the promises of God, you see them over and over, the prophecies that have been fulfilled. How do you not believe in God's Word? It tells us the truth about God. It gives us the attributes of God. But have you forgotten the Word? Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is a great reward. Like if you keep them, there's a great reward. You're blessed. And it doesn't matter. Like I tell people all the time, like if you're in sin, repent. Turn back to God. There's a blessing in that. Obedience always brings blessings. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, it says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And don't let it become dull. And I love the New Living Translation says it this way. And Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.